Thank you, John Gakandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 15th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
War veterans dump ZANU-PF and back an expelled regional party leader in a parliamentary by-election.
We are discontinuing our relationship with ZANU-PF. With that, we are endorsing Themba Mlisa. We are putting our support behind him.
Disgruntled rural teachers embark on a 200-kilometer march amid fears of intimidation by state security agents.
We are expecting to be ending petitions in Murewa district, Koromoa the district, and eventually to the head office, then to the civil service commission head office. That was on the 25th of August, after 10 days of walking through the 200 kilometers.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai and Zimbabwe People First acting president Joyce Mujuru urge all democratic forces in Zimbabwe to work together.
We now need the collective consensus of all of Zimbabwe to make sure that Mugabe listens to the voice of the people. We are for the rule of law. We are for the removal of government by the rule of law.
And in sports news, it's the end of the road for swimmer Kirsty Coventry as the mighty warriors are ill-treated in Harare.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Zimbabwe's war veterans of the 1970s break with tradition, saying they are campaigning for an opposition candidate in a by-election in Mashonaland West Province following the expulsion of their leader, Christopher Mutswangwa, from President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party for allegedly denigrating the president and his wife, Grace, said to be harboring presidential ambitions.
The war veterans are backing independent candidate, former ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mlisa, who was also expelled from the ruling party for teaming up with the former Vice President Joyce Mujuru and several other top officials to allegedly attempt to unseat Mr. Mugabe. The war veterans resolved to make this move following a heated meeting at Limbai Primary School in Norton, attended by former freedom fighters, said to be backing Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa to succeed President Robert Mugabe. The war veterans have over the years supported Mr. Mugabe's party, but have decided to dump the president, saying he is to blame for the current social, economic, and political problems in the country. One of the war veterans who attended the meeting, Joseph Chinyangari, said they won't campaign for any ZANU-PF candidate in future national polls.
For the reasons why they have expelled our leaders, war veterans leaders, leadership from the party, and we also feel that they have also expelled us. So we are discontinuing our relationship with ZANU-PF. With that, we are endorsing Themba Mlisa. We putting our support behind him.
Mlisa, who once contested Urungwe West and lost to Keith Guza of ZANU-PF, said he was happy that the war veterans are backing him, noting that the former freedom fighters don't belong to any political party.
It is a welcome move that the war veterans have decided to back me as an independent candidate. Rightfully so. I'm a son of a war veteran. I'm equally a Zimbabwean at large besides being a son of a war veteran. As such, I must enjoy the support of the war veterans of this country because they fought for multi-party democracy. And I'm sure the war veterans have finally found themselves. They know who they are and they're doing exactly what they were supposed to do rather than aligning themselves to one political party and one leader.
But some not only residents say they are sick and tired of people who want to represent them, yet they don't stay in the constituency. The residents claimed that such people are gold diggers. Mrs. Noctula Pawajgira, who lives in Katanga high-density suburb, said they want someone who understands their problems. But Muliswa dismisses such remarks, saying what matters most is a person's capability of fighting for them. He noted that the Norton by-election is a litmus test for the transparency of electoral processes and is set to measure the impact of recent national protests against the ruling party and the ZANU-PF.
A lot has happened in terms of protests, Tajamuka, this flag, the MDC marches in terms of the 15 billion, the 2.2 million jobs, which are pretty sincere. The aspect of the war veterans again being tear gassed, now not being part of the party, being expelled from the party that they claim is theirs and so forth. We need to now gauge and see whether it has an impact in terms of the electoral process of the country. By the electoral process, I mean the election itself, that what impact has this got, negative or being positive?
ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoe was not reachable for comment. About 9 candidates will contest Norton primaries on Saturday, and a date of the election is yet to be announced. Reporting for Studio 7 in Norton, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Executive members of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe today started a 10-day, 200-kilometer march from Mutawatawa in Marambafungwe, Mashonaland East Province, to Harare, demanding an upward review of their salaries and rural allowances, full maternity leave for teachers, and an end to all forms of violence against rural teachers. They're also demanding that the government should tackle the current cash crisis gripping Zimbabwe, among many other issues. The teachers were supposed to hand over a petition to the Ministries of Education, and the Public Service Commission delayed the kicking off their march as they were interrogated by state security agents for engaging in this march when they tried to hand over a petition to a local educational official. According to President of the organization, Obet Masaraure, the state security agents threatened to take drastic action against them, saying it was taboo to stage the protest in a ZANU-PF stronghold. Studio 7 was unable to get a comment from the police and education officials. Masaraure tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that the 15-member executive was joined by over 30 local villagers and school children.
We did leave late around 4 p.m. and we're heading now to Harare. So we are expecting to race around 8 p.m. after concluding the 15-kilometer walk. Then we will resume the walk tomorrow. We are expecting to be ending petitions in Murewa district, Goromo, the district, and eventually to the head office, then to the Civil Service Commission head office. That was on the 25th of August after 10 days of walking through the 200 kilometers.
Do you have police escort?
We are not provided with the police escort, but we did notify the ZRP through their head office. We did notify even the route. But we are working as a group, and we are looking after each other, and we hope everyone will be safe.
After the threats that you got from officials in Mutawatawa, do you think this is going to affect your planned march?
No. This is not going to affect our march in any way. Otherwise, they only highlighted one of our demands, that any forms of political violence against teachers must stop. And now that they were also intimidating our officials, which is another form of violence, and we are saying that must stop, and we are now more resolute than ever to work with for that demand, to ensure that the state does come in and protect the teachers and protect the citizens.
Is your march not going to interfere with the flow of traffic?
No, not in any way. We are using the sidewalks just besides the roads. And also when we are using the roads, we only use the roads when there's no traffic. It is not going to interfere with the traffic, but we want to conscientize both the villagers and the state on the need for us to collectively work for the betterment of rural education, but we will not disturb the flow of traffic.
That was Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe President Obet Masaraure on the phone from Mutawatawa in Marambafungwe, Mashonaland East Province, with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamilinkomo.
and we are the host for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us as we discuss the backlash by some, including UNICEF Zimbabwe, about the family of Itai Dzamara involving his children during its commemoration in Africa Unity Square last week. Was it wrong for the family to involve the children?
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai and Zimbabwe People First Acting President, former Vice President Joyce Mujuru say it's important for all democratic forces in Zimbabwe to work together in order to help end the ongoing economic crisis in the country. Our correspondent Aurai Shaba brings us more.
In a move that caught many by surprise, Mujuru and Tsvangirai led protesters in a joint public protest on Saturday in Gweru against the deteriorating economic situation in Zimbabwe and other pressing issues. Tsvangirai said he was touched by Mujuru's gesture to agree to join the march. He said though the move had been unexpected, it was in line with the wishes of many Zimbabweans who want all political parties fighting for democratic change to come together in order to help stem the unending socio-economic crisis in the country. The former prime minister said opposition parties run the risk of becoming irrelevant if they do not follow the people's expectations.
I want you to congratulate Dr. Mujuru and her leadership for seeing it necessary for us to have this joint program. We now need the collective consensus of all Zimbabweans to make sure that Mugabe listens to the voice of the people. We are for the rule of law. We are for the removal of government by the rule of law.
Tsvangirai said 92-year-old President Robert Mugabe cannot be expected to have any credible plans to get the country out of the current problems. He reiterated that his party seeks to gain power through legitimate means, but warned that if things don't change soon, people's anger over their continued suffering will one day explode.
Mugabe and the ZANU-PF have no solution to the problems that this country is facing.
Robert,
I don't hate Mugabe, but I disagree with him. I told him in the face, because I think what you need is a new energy and a new agenda to make sure that this country can be saved.
In her address, Mujuru said part of the reason why she was expelled from ZANU-PF was that she was always against the vilification of Tsvangirai and other opposition leaders. The former vice president said she had seen it fit to join the MDCT demonstration as the problems that the party is seeking to address are common to all Zimbabweans. Mujuru stressed the need for a united front to tackle the country's problems and urged Zimbabweans not to resort to violence over political differences.
Zimbabwe is for us all. Let's not fight. We want to weed out all the corruption, all the nonsensical things that are existing amongst ourselves. Yeah. Let's all unite for the betterment of Zimbabwe.
Although both Tsvangirai and Mujuru did not openly declare a formal coalition, sources told Studio 7 that Saturday's move was the laying of a foundation of an alliance between the two parties. Observers have noted that divisions in Zimbabwe's opposition have worked to the advantage of ZANU-PF, enabling the ruling party to continue its stranglehold on power. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shaba.
Thanks, Taurai. Still on the same story, we reached a Zimbabwe People First interim spokesman Rugare Gumbo, who says the events on Saturday show that the opposition is united in its common goal.
Not necessarily united as such, but that we are working together. And we are consulting with other democratic forces in society. We are dealing with CDP, led by BT. We are talking to ZAPU, led by Teresa Bavengwa, and the MDC, led by Watchman Nuga, and the other political parties in the country. We don't want to leave out anybody. We think this struggle is for all Zimbabweans, not just the big organized parties, but everyone who is concerned about the deteriorating economic situation in the country, the poverty, the misery that people are facing. So we do not exclude the other people. We want to include everyone in the process.
Now, can you tell us what happened at the weekend? Was it planned, or it was a coincidence that you already had a rally planned and the MDCT were marching in the streets?
Yes, I would say that it was a coincidence in the sense that we had our rally. MDC was designated demonstration. We didn't know. I think none of us knew.
And that was Zimbabwe People First Interim Spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. For an analysis, we reached commentator Ambrose Bindi, who says the opposition parties must unite now and deal with their differences at a later stage.
That's a very positive development in terms of issues of politics in Zimbabwe, because we all know and we've seen it that for many, many occasions, the guys tried to go it alone, he has failed to break through. And as long as these political parties, the Welshman is going alone, Tsvangirai is going alone, NIPT is going alone, Kabengwa is going alone, all that they are doing, they'll be divided by Zimbabwe. And by so doing, they are also enhancing more chance of ZANU-PF remaining in power. So I think these political leaders now, they've come to their senses. They've seen that Zimbabweans are suffering. As we speak now, people, they are not being paid those way to work. Companies are closing. People are failing to go to school. Hospitals have no medication. Simply because people are just looking for power. It's high time people come down, they humble themselves and come together so that come 2018, all political parties rally behind one leader who will be fighting ZANU-PF, Mugabe, so that at least we undo Mugabe. Thereafter, people can now go back to their political parties and see how we move forward.
But Mr. Sbindi, we know that there is a very divergent a point of view between some of the leaders, for example, Tendai Biti and Mr. Tsvangirai. How do you think a coalition can function when you have such divergent views?
Well, to me, I want to believe that even Ms. Morgan Tsvangirai, he has seen it that when he's going solo, despite the support that he may be having, they normally call the big tent. But I think he has seen that on more than six occasions so far since 2000 when MTC was formed, he has failed to undo ZANU-PF. And the only strategy now is that these people should come together and unite. In fact, they say in politics when they have permanent enemies or rivals.
And that was political commentator Ambrose Bindi. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
We now take a look at regional and international news.
Zambia's president has been re-elected in a closely contested vote that the opposition claim was rigged. The Electoral Commission said incumbent Edgar Lungu of the ruling Patriotic Front won more than 50% of the vote, defeating his main rival Hakainde Hichilema of the United Party for National Development, who took just under 48%.
Donald Trump's campaign is again on the defensive, this time after a report detailed connections between Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort and Ukraine's pro-Russia ex-president. The report published in the New York Times late Sunday disclosed the existence of secret ledgers in Ukraine that show $12.7 million in cash designated for Manafort.
Nigeria's government says it's reaching out to Boko Haram after a new video surfaced online Sunday showing as many as 50 of the Chibok girls kidnapped in 2014.
And the Midwestern U.S. city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, saw a second night of unrest Sunday into Monday morning, with police in riot gear confronting a group of people protesting the killing of a black man by police. Residents of Ro-Nyanga South in Manicaland Province will next weekend enjoy free medical clinics in their constituency from 15 doctors, courtesy of their Member of Parliament, Super Mandiwanzira. The annual clinics have been running for 5 years, and Nyanga District Medical Officer Dr. Edmore Jokwiro says all residents should visit their nearest clinic in Nyanga for free medical attention. Jokwira tells Studio 7 that the most common ailments in Ro-Nyanga include diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, and malaria.
We are holding our annual clinical outreach, courtesy of the partnership we have with our Member of Parliament, Honorable Superman Duanzira, where we are able to visit about 12 clinics inside 2 days in Nyanga District, and that will be on the 27th and the 28th of August. So on the 27th of August, we will be running clinics at Mount Melary Clinic, Nyatate Clinic, Ruchira Clinic, Tombo Clinic, Gairezi Clinic, and Nyafaru Clinic. These clinics will run from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then on Sunday, 28 August, we are at Dombo Clinic, Spring Valley Clinic, Erin Estate, Claremont Estate, Nyarumburwe Clinic, and Nyajezi Clinics. Again, the clinics will run from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And will be supported by a total of 15 doctors who are coming in from Harare, Shurugi, Mutare, and also Asinyanga District. And we also have 10 nurses from the district hospital to support the outreach. So we are calling on everybody who is unwell to come and meet doctors, so that they can be able to be assisted with medication, with diagnosis and suggested tests. And if there is need for any specialist care, we will arrange surgeries for this patient at Nyanga District Hospital.
How long have you been having these clinics for, and what would you say has been the response to your previous clinics?
So these clinics are annual clinics. They are held once a year, and they are really meant to increase access to affordable care, because one of the biggest challenges we have in Nyanga District is that many of our patients cannot access a doctor to get a consultation, and this is largely because of the remoteness of the areas where they stay in, and also the economic issues where they do not have enough money to be able to travel to hospitals to be able to meet the doctors. So these outreach clinics have really been overwhelming. We have had them annually from 2012, and whenever we get to the outreach clinics, they are usually oversubscribed, and doctors are working all day in order to be able to attend to each and every patient who comes in for these outreaches.
So for those that would like to actually attend the clinics, what do they need to do? Are the clinics free of charge? Do they need to register, or what do they need to do?
The clinics are free of charge. Patients can register ahead of time, but because most of our patients are actually in remote areas, what we just need is the message to get to them. So various platforms are being used to be able to deliver the messages. We expect to meet with the patients at the clinic. Even if the patient is not registered or does not have a booking, they will be attended to, and these clinics are entirely free of charge. There will be absolutely no cost for them to be attended or for them to be able to be given medication.
What are some of the common diseases that you're seeing people in your constituency actually suffering from, that you hope that people will come in and, you know, get diagnosed and get some treatment?
Okay, on a lighter note, the constituency does not belong to me. It belongs to the Member of Parliament, Honorable Manduanzira. I am only a medical doctor working in Nyanga. But to your question precisely, the most common ailments that we have in terms of chronic ailments, we do have high numbers of hypertension. We also have diabetes mellitus. We also have arthritis. We are also seeing cancers coming up in terms of numbers, and these are prostate cancer, breast cancer, and cervical cancer. We also have HIV-associated illnesses, complications of HIV infection, and we also have acute illnesses like malaria and generally other fevers like gastroenteritis.
If some people in Nyanga are listening right now, what would you say has been the major cause of some of the diseases that you're talking about? What can people in the rural areas do to lessen their chances of getting some of those diseases?
If we are to speak of the cancers, I think one big problem is that we don't do much of screening for cancers. So what we are now encouraging to the people who are listening is that they should be able to present to the clinics and to the hospitals and really ask routinely to just be checked for prostate cancer, to be checked for cervical cancer, to be checked for breast cancer. There are some simple screening tools which can be used, which are mainly examination. And then in the same cases with hypertension and diabetes mellitus, I think it's to do with people not being screened a lot. But we also have issues of diet. Yes, we do have cases where sometimes people run short of food, but we do have those that have, and we also have many cases of people who are on the overweight or obese side, and we are seeing that many of these are the ones who have illnesses like hypertension and diabetes mellitus. And then for acute illnesses like gastroenteritis and malaria, again, I think the answer will be prevention. We need people to sleep under nets. We need people to have their houses sprayed. We need people to use safe water from protected water sources.
That was Nyanga District Medical Officer Dr. Admo Jokweri in Nyanga speaking about a free clinic in Nyanga organized by ZANU-PF MP for Nyanga South Super Mandiwanzira.
Hey.
And in sports news, some Zimbabweans have castigated the National Olympics Committee and Zimbabwe Football Association for abandoning the Mighty Warriors when they arrived in Harare last Friday from the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. Reporter Michael Cariati has more details.
The players were bundled into a battered minibus and then later on given $5 for transport by local soccer authorities. The Mighty Warriors claimed they were supposed to receive $1,000 each for featuring in the games where they lost all their matches against Canada, Australia and Germany. Sports Minister Makosi Ntlongwane said it was the responsibility of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee to take care of the Mighty Warriors when they arrived from Rio de Janeiro.
Despite the trailblazing performance by the Mighty Warriors,
we need to note that organizational issues after departure from the airport into town and thereafter to their respective individual destinations was a matter for ZOC to handle, working in collaboration with CIFA.
Most Zimbabweans blamed the Olympics Committee and the Zimbabwe Football Association for the ill treatment of the Mighty Warriors, saying they deserved a better reception than what they went through when they arrived in Harare. At the same time, there was a huge celebration at the Olympic Games Aquatics Arena as Kirsty Coventry kissed goodbye to the Olympic Games. Family members, friends and relatives, as well as admirers, gathered around the Olympics Games Aquatics Arena in Rio de Janeiro to celebrate Coventry's final bow to the Olympic Games. There was also a small band of flag-waving Zimbabweans who did not want to be left out of the proceedings of this historic occasion last Friday. As Coventry appeared for the start of the 2,000-meter backstroke final, there was a huge roar and cheers in recognition of the fine performances she gave them over the years and the world records she broke in the process. An emotional Coventry could do nothing but just wave at the crowd. The cheers were even louder after Coventry finished sixth in the final of the 200-meter backstroke, her last competition in her 16 years of association with the Olympic Games. It was a perfect ending to a 16-year-old career that gave her 7 medals, 2 golds, 4 silvers, and a bronze, the highest number of Olympic medals by any African athlete. Sports expert Matthias Kufandirimwa said the 60th place was a happy ending to a glittering career.
She's done well considering the age. She was competing with people who are half her age or slightly below her age. Considering what she has done in the past, I think that's the best. Age has taken its toll on her. I think we should applaud her, considering she's the best Olympian Zimbabwe has ever produced.
Kufandirimwa said he is worried that the departure of Coventry from the pool could mean the end of swimming in this country.
And we used to have the elite Les Brown and Mount Pleasant pool. I think at the moment there's no water in those swimming pools. So how do we develop swimming in this country? So in actual fact, there's no hope for the future in terms of swimming in Zimbabwe.
Coventry holds the record of the highest number of medals accrued by any female swimming athlete in the history of the Olympic Games. With the Rio mission accomplished, it is now time for the queen of the pool to take a rest and concentrate on a new family. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Carriot.
Some Zimbabweans in the diaspora have also taken to social media to show their anger at the mistreatment of the Mighty Warriors. One such person is Zidzai Rizidzo, who lives in Ohio, who says he was very upset at the mistreatment of the Mighty Warriors and says it's also very heartbreaking.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about a protest at the weekend which was organized by the MDCT and featured former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. And now for a quick recap of today's top stories.
War veterans dump ZANU-PF and back and expel the regional party leader in a parliamentary by-election.
Disgruntled rural teachers embark on a 200-kilometer march amid fears of intimidation by state security agents.
And MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai and Zimbabwe People First acting President Joyce Mujuru urge all democratic forces in Zimbabwe to work together.
That's it. My name is Chris.